Okay, we're on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. If Reb Nachum is with us, then we have a teretz, Baruch Hashem, to his question from yesterday. Oh, there he is, the man of the moment. Okay, Reb Nachum, you asked a tremendous question yesterday, which obviously was going to be asked by the Rishonim. I looked into it this morning, and we find that Tosfos does ask it. It's just not printed on the page. It's on Daf Mem Aleph on the base. The question that you asked yesterday and the question that must be asked. Remember we said there's not allowed to be a discrepancy between the Edim in any case, not just Chakiros, but even Bedikos. What will be considered a discrepancy? So obviously if one says it was on Tuesday, one says it was on Thursday, so obviously there's Sheker going on and we would just reject the Edus. Now, the Mishnah says that if one says it was the third day of the month, or one says it was the fourth day of the month, then that's not considered a stira. Why? How can that be? It's definitely not the same day. So the Mishnah says, because it could be that one of them made a mistake with regard to whether the last month had an ibur or not, and therefore that led to confusion as to the exact date. So Nachum asked a tremendous question. It's true. It may well be that they made a mistake, but surely we have to consider that it may be that they did not make a mistake. It's definitely a sophic. So in a case of a 50-50 situation, not just as a 50-50, surely at first glance, we would say this seems to be a contradiction. We have a possible explanation. But in as much as the explanation is not conclusive, so at best, it's a sophic. So if it's a sophic, how can we possibly put somebody to death when we have every incentive to try and save his life? How can we possibly put him to death based on the fact that maybe we have a resolution of this apparent contradiction? That maybe they got mixed up, what day of the month it is, it's true, maybe, but maybe not. And maybe they're in fact lying and there's no edus at all and this fellow does not deserve to be killed. So how on earth can we put somebody to death based on a sophic? If I understood correctly, then that was your Shaila of Nachum. So the answer is, Tosfos discusses this. It doesn't appear on this Omud, it appears on Mem Aleph Omud base. And Tosfos asks the question exactly as you asked it, and he says a very important answer. You'll remember when we learned the first half of the Mishnah last week, we asked the Edim what would seem to be the same question twice. It's not exactly the same question, but it would seem to come to the same thing. We asked the Edim what day of the week it was, what parasha, and also what date it was. Now, surely that's really, in effect, the same thing twice. Right? If I say to you, it was the 17th of Elul, and the other one says, yes, it was the 17th of Elul. Now you're going to say, which day of the week? Well, that comes to the same thing, because the 17th of Elul can only be on one day of the week. So Rashi explained why we have to ask that question, as it were, in two formats. So Tosfos says that even though when one of them said it was the second day of the month and one day was, the other one said it was the third, and it looks from the surface as if there's a contradiction over here, but let's not forget, and Reb Nachum, this is the answer to your question, that there's another question that we asked the Edim and they did give the right answer. We've already asked them what day of the week did this take place, and they both answered the same answer. They both said it was on Wednesday. That, therefore, does very much suggest, it's not just a sophic, that very much does suggest that they really are on the same page. You see, they both said with absolute clarity that it was on a Wednesday that the murder took place. Then when we asked them what was the date, one said the second of the month and one said it was the third of the month. So we are necessarily going to say, so it must be there was a bit of confusion as to whether last month had 30 or 29 days. Without the other question of which day of the week it was, then you're right, it's a 50-50. It looks like a contradiction. It may be, it may not be. I have no idea. But if we've got the extra question, which certainly seems to back up the notion that these Edim are indeed MS, because after all, they did say it took place on the exact same day, and with regard to that question, there was no contradiction, That's why we have every reason to suggest that when they said the second or the third of the month, okay, there was a little bit of a mistake. If one of them was, say, one is the second of the month and one is the fourth day of the month, okay, well, that's non-reconcilable. They both said it was the same day of the week. Okay, so that question they got right, the question they got wrong. But if one question they got right and the other question is not necessarily conclusive, that they're lying, so that gives me the license to say that really they are on the same page, such that ultimately I'm putting this fellow to death, not based on a suffix. Rather, the evidence really does suggest that that's the case. So, Reb Nachum, you are mechavim to Tosis Kasha. Mitzvah Hashem, everybody's invited this Shabbos to Mishkafayim, to a Kiddush in Reb Nachum's home, to celebrate the great Simcha of being mechavim to Divrei Rabbi Yisenu HaRishonim, which is a very, very special thing to do and a special thing to feel. We are now in the Mishnah. We're going slowly through this very lengthy Mishnah. The first word on the line was chamo. Chamo. So we've asked all the questions. Says the Mishnah, it's in the middle of the line. Do you have it where it says v'achar kach machnisin? You have those words?
Yeah.
After having cross-examined the first age, you asked him all seven chakirois and possibly further bedikois. How many? The Mishnah says the more the better. Then you would bring in the second aid, and now you cross-examine him as well. If you find that their words are aligned, so they seem to be giving all the right answers. They both said it was Tuesday, they both said there was the same date and the same place and the same year and the same month, etc., etc. So now what do we do? Poischem bizachus. Now what does that mean, poischem bizachus? You'll remember from last month, when we learned in the last perek, that when the Edim have completed giving their Edus, that is by no means the end of the Din Torah. What is the next stage? The next stage is possibly the most important stage, and that is what we call the Masa Umaton. What's the Masa Umaton? Now begins all the discussion amongst the Dayanim. So it's true. The evidence seems to be in line with each other and overwhelming. Now the Dayanim have to judge the case. Possibly, maybe there's a reason to let him off the hook. How can that be? Two Edim have come to Bezdin and they said unequivocally, we gave him Hasra and he Mechal on Shabbos, and they both say it was on which Shabbos it was, and which location, and what time, and what date, and what calendar, everything is the same. So what possible zechus is there? So it's not true. Maybe one of the Dayanim will say, who's to say the Hasra was given correctly, and maybe he wasn't feeling well that day, and maybe he was under duress, and maybe he didn't really know the halacha, and maybe he thought it was pikuach nefesh, and maybe that's what we're trying. Why are we trying so hard? This is the rule that we saw countless times last month. We're always trying to save somebody. We don't have any desire to put somebody to death. To the contrary, we're trying all we can to save him. So the Edim have given the Edus. If the Edus is not aligned, then what happens? It's all over. The case is adjourned. As we said yesterday, the Edus is bottle and everybody goes home. But if the Edus is aligned, so then clearly we cannot go home and we have to continue. What do we continue with? We continue with the Masa Umaton, to which the Mishnah says, Poischein Bezuchus. If any of the Dayanim want to speak up, the first thing that we want to hear is Etzad Zuchus. These are the facts. Now, how to deal with him? So the first thing we do is the Zuchus. Remember, we discussed this last time. We have the expression in English, first impressions last. The way they begin the discussion might well influence the entire direction of the discussion, and therefore we have every interest that it should begin in the direction of Zuchus rather than the direction of Choiv. Has it frozen? You can hear me?
No, I can hear you.
Yeah. My screen just suddenly seemed to freeze. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Poischein b'zichus. So now we begin trying to examine, do we have eight tzadzichus? Ech omar echod min ho'eidim. What happens if one of the Eidim, can he give his opinion? What is the role of the aid? L'chayre, his role is to give testimony, and that's it. Well, he's done that. Says the Mishnah, Omar echod min ha'eidim, yesh li lelamed olav zechus. If one of the Eidim says that actually I could possibly suggest a zechus, oy echod min ha'talmidim. Remember, we discussed this also last month. Remember, we had the 71 Dayonim or the 23 Dayonim in the case of Dinei Nefoshes. But then we had Talmidim. Remember, we had Talmidim? Anybody remember how many rows? We had three rows of Talmidim. We could always, as it were, promote them to the Beis Din in the case of if one of the Dayonim suddenly was unavailable or there's a split decision, as we're going to see soon. So the Talmidim, L'chayra, do have a right to give an opinion. However, says the Mishnah, if one of the Talmidim says, Yesh li lelamed olav chayva, his first statement is, I have a way of actually incriminating him, not being malamid zechus, but malamid choiva. So either of those cases, number one of the Eidim speaks up and says, I'd like to give a tzad zechus, or one of the Talmidim speaks up and says, I'd like to give a tzad choiva, says the Mishnah, Meshatkin oisai. What does that mean, Meshatkin oisai? From Loshon of Shtika. We silence him. Why do we silence him? Because the aide has no business giving an opinion in the first place. That's not his function. And the Talmidim, who are entitled to give their opinion, but we're not interested to hear from them if the first thing they have to say is Choyva. Look at Rashi on the fourth wide line. Nimsu divrei muchvonim. If we find that the edus is aligned, umeato, and now srichim lisa velitain bedava. This is the masa umatan, the forwards and backwards. Now the discussion begins. Poischein lezechus. We try looking for a tzad zechus. What will be an example? So Rashi quotes an example that we actually saw early on in the Masechta, and we say to him, to the person who's been accused, Eloi Kotalta, Loi Titcho. If you did not kill, then you have nothing to be afraid of. As we said early on in the parak. Now, why do we say that to the person who's being accused? To the contrary, he's been accused of murder. Two Eidim have come to Beis Din, they're being cross examined, their Eidus all seems to be perfect. And yet the first thing we say to the accused was, don't worry, if you're innocent, you don't need to be afraid at all. Why are we saying that to him? For obvious reason. In order to steer the discussion in the direction of Zechus. If that is the opening line of the Dayanim, the first thing we're saying is, don't worry, everything is going to be okay if you didn't commit this murder. So obviously the very first seed that we're planting in everybody's mind is, he might not have committed this murder. That's called steering the direction in the direction of, steering the case in the direction of Zechus. And that's what we have to do, says Rashi. Omar echod min ha'edim yeshli lelamed olav Zechus meshat kinoi soi. We silence him, we do not give the aid his right to give an opinion. The kol shekain, says Rashi, im hoya ba lelamed olav choyva. Even more so, if the aid wants to now offer his opinion to incriminate, well, then obviously we're not going to listen to him. Why is that a kol shekain? Because we don't listen to anybody who begins the trial with choyva. But why are we not listening to the aid at all? The tama. Omar Bepirka de la El. The reason is, as stated in the previous parak, we have a pasuk, De Eid Echad Loi Yane Benefesh. Bein Lezuchus Bein l'chayva. The aide has no business giving his opinion whether it's for zechus or chayva. Why? Mishum de mechzi kenoigea be'edos. As we all know very well, the number one rule of any edim is they have to be impartial. If there's any type of negiyus, and that's why we all know, we learn this as, oh well, a koroiv cannot be an aid. Remember we learned the whole sugya, a rishon berishon, and a rishon besheni, and a shlishi, and a revi, etc., etc. Anybody who's got any type of vested interest is necessarily disqualified from being an aid. Now, if the aide starts offering his opinion on the case, what would that suggest? That he seems to have come with some preconceived notion of where this case is going. Well, it certainly looks, therefore, that he's negeya be'edus. What does it mean he's negeya be'edus? Negeya literally means he's touching, means he's got some type of partiality, he's biased. So even if it happens to be that he has not got any bias, but it certainly looks like he does. And if it looks like he does, then he's necessarily disqualified. So therefore, we tell the aide, with all due respect, your function here in the Besdin is to give your testimony. You've done that very well. Thank you very much. That's it. Your opinion, however, cannot be considered. The minute you start expressing your opinion, it looks like you're negeya be'edus, and even if you try to convince us otherwise, but it certainly does look that way. So therefore, he cannot be entitled to his opinion. Says Rashi, Omar, echod min ha-talmidim ha-yoshvim lifnei ha-dayonim. One of the talmidim who's sitting in front of the dayonim says, yesh li l'lamed olav choyva. Now, they are allowed to express their opinion. They're not one of the edim, they're one of the talmidim. So why can't they express their opinion? Because it's chayva. So once again, mashat kinoisoi, kuda omron leel. Again, this is a reference to something that we've learned in the past. De eidechod lo yane benefesh lomus. We don't start with that particular tzad of lomus. Lomus hu de eino oina. We don't want to begin with the direction that maybe he's chayv to die, but rather holiz chus oina. But if he's prepared to give us an opinion that he thinks that maybe there's a zechus, then he can express his opinion. Okay, back into the Mishnah now. So the case now proceeds. Again, if the edim were have to be proven that the edus is misaligned, then we would have thrown it out. But we got over that first hurdle because the edus was absolutely correct. It was all aligned. We asked them all the drishes and all the chakires, and they gave all the correct answers. Okay, stage two. Now the masa umatan, the discussion begins. The aide, as we've just said, he cannot express his opinion. It would look very much like he's an egeya be'edus. Therefore, he cannot express his opinion. So who can express his opinion? Obviously, any of the dayonim or any of the talmidim, as long as they begin with the tzad of Zechus. Carry on, says the Mishnah. Oh, Marechod Metalmidim, Yeishli Lelamed Olav Zechus. One of the Talmidim lifts up his hand and says, excuse me, I think I've got a way of exonerating him. I think I can think of a Zechus. Ah, okay, we're very keen to listen to that. Is Malin Oisai, we promote him. At the moment, he's sitting on the benches in front of the Dayanim. Now we'll put him together with the Dayanim. And we'll put him amongst the Dayanim. Not that he becomes one of the Dayanim. Why not? Because we have to have an odd number. We have to have 23. We only promote him to actually become a Dayan, either if one of the Dayanim is not available. We spoke about once if one of a Dayan passes away in the middle of the case, or as we'll see later, if there's a split decision. But for the moment, we're happy to hear his opinion. But he can't be a Dayan. In the final vote, when we take the votes, Chayev versus Zakai, the Talmid will not be able to express his opinion. He cannot then give his vote. But at the moment, we're not up to the voting stage. That's called the Gemara Din. We're not up to the Gemara Din. We're still busy with the Masa Umatan. So the Talmid says, I have a Tzad Zechus. Okay, we're very keen to hear that. So we promote him. U'moshivin oisei beinehem v'loi hoya yoyred misham kol hayoyim kulu. And he does not descend from there all day. All day, that's where he remains. Now, Im yesh mamash bidvarov. What does that mean, mamash? If there's substance, we listen to his claim, and if indeed there's substance, this is something that's worthwhile considering, then shomim loy, so we would listen him out and we would consider. Va'afilu hu oimer yesh li lelamed al atzmi zechus, also shomim loy. What happens if the person who's being accused, he himself offers an opinion and says, actually, I have a tzad zechus in my own defense? Shomim loy. We would listen to him, as long as he's got some type of substance. Right? So if he says, yeah, I've got a tzad zechus, I think I had amnesia that day. Okay, that doesn't sound very plausible. But if he has someone which has substance, that's, you know, I genuinely didn't know the halacha. Okay, let's just not really didn't know the halacha. You didn't know that you're not mechalel Shabbos, but didn't you get hasra from the Edim? Yes, true, but I didn't understand the hasra. Okay, we have to consider that. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? That not only the Dayanim, obviously, but even one of the Talmidim, or even the person being accused himself, is allowed to offer defense. And in the case of the person being accused, it's self-defense, as long as there's mamish bedvarov. Ve'im motzu loy zechus potruhu. And if the Dayanim were now able to find the zechus, how so? Either they thought of it themselves, or one of the Talmidim, or the person being accused, but in the final analysis, they might have managed to come up with a zechus. So even though the Edim seem to have given overwhelming and unequivocal testimony, it would seem to be that he's guilty, but no, he found a zechus. But if that's the case, potru, then he's exempted, finished, it's all over. So even though the Edim absolutely claim unequivocally that he was Mechal Shabbos, or he committed this murder, and he really does deserve to die, yes, we're not arguing with you, but we found a zechus. We found some flaw in the case, and that suffices. Therefore, we'll not put him to death, and everybody goes home. And what happens if not? Ve'imlav, Naraboisai, I hope everybody remembers this, because this is something else that we also learned last month. Do you remember we learned the halacha called Halonas Hadin? What's Halonas Hadin? That if ever he's found guilty, we would always spill over the case to the next day. We would never convict somebody on that day. We always say, okay, let's sleep over it. Maybe overnight, somebody will have siyata d'shmaya and will be able to come up with the zechus. So says the Mishnah of Imlav, if we could not come up with a zechus, so we have the evidence stacked against him. We have the opinions of all the dayanim. Everybody seems to be pointing in the direction of choyva. What are we going to do? Ma'avirin oisoy lemochor. So we now push it over to tomorrow, and we say, okay, for the moment, the case is absolutely not adjourned, but it's going to be pushed off till tomorrow before a final decision will be made. What happens in the interim? Says the Mishnah, umizdavgin zugoi zugois. And the Dayanim now get together in pairs, like chavrusas. And each one of these chavrusas, they try and hash it out. Backwards, forwards, forwards, backwards. What can we think? Maybe, just maybe we can come up with a zechus. Says the Mishnah, an unbelievable thing. Hoyu mamatin mamachal, they would reduce what they eat. V'loy hoyu shosin yayin kol hayom, they definitely would not drink wine. V'noisin v'noisnin kol halayla, they would try and discuss it all night long. Ulamacharas, and the next day, mashkimin, they get up early, uboyin lebezdin, and they come to Bezdin to continue the case. And before we see how this continues, let's see Rashi. Ma'avirin, oisei lemocho, ma'avirin, esadin ad lemocho, you now push it off until tomorrow. Mishum halonas hadin. What is halona? What's the translation of the word halona? From the word lina, lon, to lodge overnight. The case is lodged overnight. Pressed pause. Kadamina perek in Lael. Once again, this is halacha we learned in the last perek. We can see that our perek is very much connected to the previous one. Hoyum is davin b'yoyim rishoyin la'acha shehaviruhu l'din mimokim hayeshiva. After they've moved away, they were initially sitting in the mokim hayeshiva, wherever they were sitting in the bezin. They don't have to stay there all night. But after they all move away, hoyum is davin b'botehen, they would get together either in their homes, or Yibashuk, or in the street, wherever it would be, the Noisin, the Noistin, Bedova, and they would continue their Masa Umatan. Kol Alayla, Ish Ish Lats, where each one all night long would try and come up with something. By the way, you may well know a very, very famous case in Lakewood about 40 years ago of somebody. The tragic scenario really had Siamese twins. And the doctor said that these Siamese twins cannot both exist. They cannot both survive. Not only that, if you don't split them, then one is actually basically killing off the other. And Moshe Feinstein was asked the question, he has all tshuva about it, are you allowed now to split the twins? Because they told them, the doctor said as follows, one of them can definitely not survive. If they're not split, then that one will be killing off his twin. So Rav Moshe was asked the unbelievable question, are we allowed to split them? If we split them, then on the spot, one of the twins is dead. So maybe that's called an act of Ritzicha. On the other hand, if we don't split them, then he's basically not allowing his twin to survive either, which maybe therefore means he has the status of a Roidef. On the other hand, maybe he does not have a status of a Roidef because he's certainly not intending to kill him. This was the extremely difficult question that Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked. Should they perform surgery, which would mean that on the spot, basically, you're killing off one of the twins, but you're dying. So maybe it's not allowed. You just have to let, as it were, nature to play its course. On the other hand, maybe we should split them because otherwise they're both going to die. This way we can at least try and save one. Why am I mentioning this case? Because Rav Moshe said he needs a few days to think about it. He written the whole tremendous tshuva. But I heard that during the course of time that he wrote this tshuva, he fasted every single day. He ate only at night. And this obviously has the makoir, at least, or a remes from our Mishnah. You see that Rav Moshe felt that we're dealing with such a serious, serious, weighty case of pikuach nefesh, that he did not eat or drink, kach shamati, for several days. By the way, how did the story pan out? In the end, Rav Moshe famously has his chuvani paskin, that yes, one of the twins is considered to be a roidif. And therefore, not just it's permissible, but it's actually mandatory. And you must perform surgery to split the two. It became very complicated, both legally and religiously. In the final analysis, they performed the surgery and literally in the operating theater, one of the twins therefore died on the spot, as predicted. And the other one survived. Tragically, a few weeks later, that twin also eventually passed away, which obviously does not in any which way, chas v'shalom, render Moshe Feinstein's psak as incorrect. He was not trying to predict the future based on the medical evidence and obviously based on the halacha, that was the correct psak. I'll call upon him, let's come back to our mishnah. So you see that these dayonim are in a very serious situation. Nobody at the moment can think of a zechus. We're certainly not going to put him to death on the first day. So what do we do? It's now pushed over to the next day. That's called Halona Sadin. But in the meantime, they're hardly eating. And now they come back. Let's now resume. What does the Mishnah say? Ulamacharas, they come to Bezdin, Mashkim and Uboin LeBezdin. Hamazake. What does it mean, the Mazake? Somebody who yesterday thought of a Tzad Zechus, but he was completely outvoted. Oy Marani Mazake, O Mazake Ani B'Makoimi. I maintained he's innocent, but, and I still remain that. But Makoimi, I remain in my place, I'm unmoved. Okay? V'hamachayev oimer, what happens if the machayev says, ani machayev, I maintain that he is guilty, u'machayev ani b'makoymin, I remain unmoved. I've considered it all night long, I haven't eaten, hardly drunk, and I do not see any reason to change my opinion, I still maintain that he's guilty. Now, hamalameid choiva malameid zechus. Somebody who initially said choiva, he can switch to zechus. But hamalameid zechus, eino yochal lachsiv alalameid choiva. But somebody who initially said innocent cannot now change his opinion to guilty. You might well remember we said in the last perek that only refers to the time of being masa or matan. But in the final gemara din, when all the proofs have been discussed, then he can switch. We're not up to the Gemara Din, we're still up to the Masa Umatan. Says Rashi, Hamazaka Esmoil, somebody who yesterday considered him innocent, Omer Anihu Hamazaka Esmoil. I was the one yesterday who maintained he's innocent. Va'adayin Mazaka Ani, and I still maintain that. And the truth is, I have to. Al Korchu. Because he's not allowed to switch at this stage. And the Machayev will say, if he could not come up with any tzad zechus overnight, then you'll have to say, and I still maintain, I'm unmoved, I still maintain that he's guilty, says Rashi. Somebody who yesterday considered him guilty, but if things have changed, if overnight he's managed to think of a reason to exempt him, then melamed zechus. Aval hamelamed zechus, the other way around, that not. Says the Mishnah, back into the Mishnah. To'u bedovar. What happens if the Dayanim made a mistake? One second, what did I think yesterday? I can't remember exactly what I thought yesterday. So says the Mishnah, Shnei Seifrei Hadayonim Mazkirin Oisei. Remember, we have the scribes of the court, and they're busy writing minutes of the whole Din Torah. And they'll say, one second, excuse me, this is what you said yesterday. They'll remind him. So, Imotsuloi Zechus. If now on the second day we can find a Zechus, wonderful Potruhu. By the way, when we say, they found him a zechus. What does that mean, they found him a zechus? Obviously, that means the majority agreed that it's a zechus. It doesn't help for one or two dayanim to say that I maintain unequivocally that he's zakai because he's completely outnumbered by 20 other dayanim who mean he's guilty. So when we say motzeloi zechus, it means the majority of the bezdin maintained he's innocent and then potruhu. Ve'im lav, and if not, everything is unmoved. So now let's count up the numbers. Oimdim Laminion. So now let's tally up the votes. We have finished the Masa Umatan. There's nothing further to discuss. We've pushed it overnight. Nobody seems to have changed their opinion. So now let's get ready for the Gemara Din. We count the numbers. Shnei Masor Mazakin. If there are 12 Mazakin. Remember, in the case of the Nefoshes, how many people on the Bezdin? How many Dayonim? 23. So if 12 of them maintain that he's innocent, va'achad osar machayvin. So it's 12, 11 in the direction of zakai. Is that enough? Yes. So therefore zakai. So he's innocent because 12 voted in his favor, as opposed to 11 who voted against him. Shnei mosar machayvin va'achad osar mezakin. What happens if there are 12 mechayvin and 11 mezakin? That's also a roiv. But you remember the halacha we learned right in the beginning of the Masechta? Then in order to incriminate him, you always need a margin of two. So 12, 11, even though it's a majority, it's not a big enough majority. Va'afilu achadosar mezakin, or even if there's 11 saying innocent, va'achadosar mechayvin, ve'echod oimer eini yoideya. It's 11-11, it's a hung decision, a completely split decision. 11-11, and the 23rd Dayan says, I'm sorry, I can't come to a conclusion. Va'afilu esrim b'shnayim mezakin, or quite frankly, even if 22 say he's innocent, oy mechayvin, but ve'echod oy mer'en yedea, as long as one has said, I haven't, no, I need 23 opinions. So I need 23 dayanim. Even if 22 have said that he's guilty, so surely the 23rd opinion is irrelevant anyway, doesn't matter. I need 23 opinions. So what are we going to have to do? Yosifu hadayanim. We're going to have to bring more dayanim to the case. So again, if it's 12-11 in the direction of innocent, he's innocent. If it's 12-11 in the direction of guilty, or 11-11 and the 23rd is undecided, or in any case that the 23rd is undecided, then we were going to have to bring, and this is where we promote the Talmidim, who obviously are great Talmidei Chachamim in their own rights, they are promoted now to the status of Dayanim, by which now we hope to find a margin that will eventually allow us to be Machriya the case. How so exactly? Be'ezus Hashem, we will see tomorrow, all being well.